I'll tell you what, nothing is more exciting to me than the thought of having the Lord's Supper this week and Thanksgiving. I enjoy both of them. And Thanksgiving I look forward to every year because it's a time where I get to eat not once but twice. I eat breakfast, but I usually go light on breakfast because we go to one side of the family for lunch and have a full-blown Thanksgiving. About an hour or two later, go to the other side of the family and have a full-blown Thanksgiving. So pretty miserable by the end of the night on Thanksgiving, but keep doing it every year, so oh well. Tonight, I want you guys to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And given that it's Thanksgiving this week, I really want to focus for a minute on that idea of thankfulness and Thanksgiving. And I love that we were able to go through and see what some people in here were thankful for, and I know that we could spend all night and every one of us would be able to share on our hearts on the things that we're thankful for. But you know, the purpose of Thanksgiving is to bring to remembrance that first harvest of the English settlers. At least that's what we're taught. The purpose of Thanksgiving is to look back and to remember what took place with those English settlers. And when they had that harvest and they came and they gave thanks with the Indians. And Webster defines Thanksgiving this way: a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. That's from Webster. And as I read that, I got to thinking about Thanksgiving and the way we celebrate it, or at least the way that the world celebrates it here in the U.S., and then what we look back to. But really, the divine goodness that we need to be thankful for is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Thanksgiving. That's what to be thankful for. And if you go back and you look at Thanksgiving, you find that Thanksgiving originally didn't start out as a secular holiday. It started out as a religious holiday. However, it wasn't a religious holiday that centered around Christ or thankfulness for God. Believe it or not, it's kind of interesting when you study out people and you study out history, we all have this inward desire or this inward response of gratitude for certain things in our life. And if you go back, you find out that even before 1621, how many of you knew that the first Thanksgiving was supposed to be on 1621? One person, my aunt. Go figure. A couple. So, being that it was supposed to be 1621, I went back and I researched and I found out that even the Indians would celebrate with a harvest of Thanksgiving. But they weren't celebrating and thanking God for their harvest. They were thanking individual gods and different things. But what's interesting is everybody had a desire to be thankful. You know, as I looked at that and I read about that, a verse came to my mind that dealt with the Lord's Supper. When Jesus in Luke 22:19, when he had the disciples there and he said to them, "This do in remembrance of me." And as he called them to take of that bread, and as he broke that bread, and that's when he said, "And do in remembrance of me." It was that idea of thinking back and being thankful for something so special and so divine and so precious to every one of us. It's that idea of gratitude, but gratitude comes with remembrance. As you guys voiced out different things you were thankful for, it's because there were things you reflected on for a minute. A lot of times we take things for granted. I think of our military, for instance. I think a lot of days we can go and take our military for granted until a certain day comes along, or maybe something catches our attention on the news, and we think about being thankful for the military because something reminded us of that. I laugh at Christmas and birthdays and things because my kids, we love to buy our kids things to see them smile. And we know that there's that special thing that they've been waiting all year for. And maybe at Christmas time we're able to provide them that special gift and they're so thankful. Yet 2 months later they seem to have forgotten all about it. You know, over time it begins to wear off. Well, I think when Jesus gave those words, "Do this in remembrance of me," it was because God desired for us to not ever forget that sacrifice and to always be thankful. Because Jesus Christ deserves our worship and our thankfulness. And so, as believers, we should have a desire to always have a thankful spirit. Always have a thankful spirit, no matter what the consequences or what we're facing. I was up at the hospital today, and I was with Brother Ellis and Miss Joy. And they're in the midst of some trials right now with Brother Ellis and his brain tumor. But you know what? Even though they were hurting, they were thankful. Their circumstances didn't change the fact that they were thankful. That's God's desire for us, is to always be thankful. And the Lord's Supper is one way for us to give thanks for all Christ has done. But let me remind you that we don't just give thanks at the Lord's Supper. We should be reminded day in and day out, moment by moment, of what Christ has done for us, and let that be what makes us thankful. And so I want to give us two things tonight. Two reasons as to why should I, as a believer, have a thankful spirit. And I want to go from Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 12. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood." And what's the next word?
Suffered.
Suffered without the gate. You know, if we're going to be a people that are thankful for the Lord and we have a thankful spirit, it's going to have to be because Christ has separated us from sin. Christ has come and he has separated us from sin. And that word there in verse 12, when he said sanctify, that word means to make holy and to purify. To make holy, to make pure. See, Jesus Christ, when he came and he sanctified us, because we have a sin problem. See, sin has a hold on every man. Sin has a hold on each and every one of us in our lives. At some point in our life, we are under the bondage of sin. Every one of us. That point is before we come to know Christ as our Savior. And sin has a hold of us like a turkey on stuffing. That stuffing's up, stuffed in that turkey, and it can't go anywhere. I'm going to try to stay away from all the Thanksgiving analogies, but it's on my mind. So, but sin has a hold on man, because in the Bible you can't get away from it, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, I think we all know it, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So it doesn't seclude anybody. It doesn't say all have sinned except for those who. It doesn't say all have sinned except for. But it says all have sinned. And Romans 5:12 states that because sin entered into the world by one man, so death, the penalty of our sin, has been passed upon all men, last four words, for all have sinned. So we have a sin problem. And when we realize we have that sin problem, when we look back to what Christ has done, and the fact that it's only because Christ separated us from sin, leads us to want to be thankful. What a miserable condition to live in, overcome with sin. You know, look at verse 12 again. "That he might sanctify the people with his own blood." And then that last word, "suffered." See, Christ sanctified the people, and it cost him something. And what's so neat about it is when we go back and we reflect on Christ, everything that he went through, the suffering that Christ went through, he went through willingly. He wasn't forced. It didn't just happen. He willingly went through and suffered, knowing what he was going to go through. Hold your place here with me for a minute and go over to the book of Philippians. Chapter 2, I want you to see. When Christ was going through that suffering, it wasn't something that took him by surprise. Christ knew that there was a sin problem on man and that it was going to have to be dealt with. And so the Bible even challenges us and charges us to have the same mentality that Christ had. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now look at this. "Who being in the form," now pay attention, "of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient." In order for him to become obedient, he had to know what he was fixing to face. And he willingly humbled himself, knowing what he was going to subject himself to of that suffering, and became obedient unto death. Knowing that even as he was on the cross, at one point he could say, "That's enough, I'm done, I can't do it anymore." But he was obedient and suffered through to the point of death. All for the fact because he wanted to be able to break us apart from sin. He didn't do it for his good. He did it for our good, for his glory. And it says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Without his humility, his obedience, and his suffering, there's no separation from sin. Without what Christ was willing to go through, there's no separation of sin for us in our lives. And in Colossians 1:21, it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," and the verse says, "yet now hath he reconciled." He didn't say, "now that he made able to for you to be reconciled if you do this." The Bible doesn't say he made it possible if you would do this. No, it says that he has now reconciled. He made it possible. And when Jesus said, "take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." When he said that to the 12 there, he wasn't just saying, "hey, remember my body." He broke the bread and he said, "remember the sacrifice. Remember what I am going to do for you. Remember what has been done for you." The breaking of that body, of Christ's body, to us should be a picture of what we deserved. Remind us of what we owe because of our sin, but Christ willingly bore on the cross himself. The breaking of that body. And that breaking of the body being symbolic. But what an event to be thankful for. Christ gave the only sacrifice that would be acceptable for sin for eternity. Go back over to Hebrews, but stop at verse or chapter 10 for a second. I want you to look at chapter 10 and verse 10. And when I pause, I want you to fill in the blank, because I want you to understand this verse and what Christ has done. In verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10, he says, By the which will, being his will, we are what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's the next three words? Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The sacrifice that Christ made was one and good for all. He didn't have to continually do anything. We don't have to continually do anything. Christ said, "I've done it once and it's good enough." Christ offered up that sacrifice, and instead of having to go back, he was able to go sit on the right hand of the Father. And because of that, we look at the rest of the verse. He says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. For henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are..." If you're in here tonight and you've made Christ your personal Savior and you believed on what he's done, he's made you sanctified forever. That is something to be thankful for. The fact that Christ went through that suffering, the shedding of his own blood, so that we could have a relationship with him and forever be sanctified. Unbelievable. You think about that day in and day out, you're going to have a thankful spirit. But the second thing I want us to see tonight from Hebrews 13 is in verse 14. We saw in verse 12 it was his own blood and it was his suffering. And then verse 14, it says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek for one to come." Our place on earth is temporary. This city is not going to continue. It's going to end. We've got a city. We've got a place in heaven for eternity that's to come. You know what Jesus provides that we can look back to day in and day out and be thankful? Is hope. There was a point in time in your life when there was no hope. If you're in here tonight and you're like me, and there was a time when you trusted Christ, before that time, there was no hope. You had nothing. And in fact, what greater gift could anyone receive than eternal life secured in Christ? And before knowing God's amazing love and grace that's offered eternal life, you were hopeless. You know, the Bible even puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's who we were. The more we look back at who we were, the more thankful I am for what He's done. The more thankful I am for who I am now. Because I'm no longer who I was. The feeling of desperation, being without hope. No one wants that. No one wants to feel that feeling of desperation and no hope and hopeless. And when you feel hopeless, it brings tremendous sorrow. Paul even said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he says this, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those that don't have hope, sorrow is a part of their life. When trials come, sorrow comes with it, because they have no hope. And with that idea of being hopeless and searching for something in your life, the beauty is that Christ has provided it. He came and He gave us all the hope that we'll ever need. You know, there's nobody I know that desires to live in that kind of hopeless state. And when we begin to realize that we can live now with hope, when we begin to realize that people are searching for an answer for hope, we have that answer. We have Christ. And we can share that answer with them. And Pastor Larry taught a class on evangelism, on going out and reaching others, sharing your faith. And within that class, there's one thing that I kind of drew in conclusion to myself is, hey, if I'm not thankful for what Christ did for me, it's going to be hard for me to go tell somebody else about it. And if I don't realize what Christ has done for me, it's going to be tough for me to be thankful. When we look back and see the separation of sin that He's provided, that old life that I once lived in bondage to sin, yet I'm free. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ did. Because I could do nothing. I now have hope that Christ has provided. The reality is the Bible even calls Jesus Christ our hope. Real quick, we have a minute here. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul begins his letter to young Timothy here, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. And he says, and Lord Jesus Christ, and say the last four words with me, which is our hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ. What better thing to be thankful for than the one who came to this world humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross so that I could have a relationship with him. Man, that's something to be thankful for. And if we can't get excited and thankful for that, man, let's just close it up and go home now. We've got reason to be thankful. Every day, day in and day out. And real quick, I want to close with two more verses from back there at Hebrews 13. I want you guys to see. Hebrews 13, we see it's that sacrifice, that blood sacrifice of Christ and that suffering that he went through. And we have hope now because it's not the city that we live in now, but it's a city to come. But we see here in verse 15, it's possible for every one of us to live with a thankful spirit. And it comes by, it says this, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, I love this, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And look at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know how we can be thankful? We can be thankful by just being a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12, 1. When Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what we see here is that because of what Christ has done, to do good and communicate, that word communicate means simply to share with others. God's blessed me, I'm going to bless somebody else. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for me. I'm going to make sure that somebody else is able to be thankful for him too. And I'm going to be able to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper, we need to clear our hearts and clear our minds of the things of the world and reflect back to what Christ has done. Reflect back to the life that we now have that we once had no hope for until Christ came and gave his life. I love what Christ said when he said, "In this, do in remembrance of me." Let's bow our heads tonight for prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, before we take the Lord's Supper tonight, a lot of this may not make any sense to you if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You may not be able to have a thankful spirit if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And so tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we just want to give a moment. We're going to play an invitation. And if tonight you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, as the instruments play, we invite you to come forward. We'll have men and women ready to be able to take you back to a back room and be able to show you from the Bible how that you can know you have eternal life. That sacrifice that Christ made on the cross with his blood and his body is enough to forgive you of your sins.